Try. It's been a long time since I've been behind a pulpit to share the word of God, and I'm honored. I thank the pastor for giving me this opportunity. And I just wanted to say that I remember the pastor asked me a while back ago, and to be honest, I kind of shunned away from it. I didn't think I was ready. It's been a lot of years since I've preached the gospel in a church. And then he asked me again, and I saw that the man has confidence in me, so I'm going to try not to disappoint him. But most of all, I'm going to try not to disappoint my Lord. Amen. Because this isn't about anyone else but Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you could turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 12. And if I seem a little nervous, bear with me. I might be looking at my notes a lot. I've been out of practice for a while. Put on my cheaters. You can see better with four eyes than two. And you might want to put your finger also in Isaiah chapter 51, verse 6. You know, I love reading the Bible. I like getting into the Word of God, especially when I'm by myself. Sometimes I tell my wife, oh, you got to go shopping or anything. I want to spend time with God. My wife and I, we read the Bible. We talk about the Bible. We sit back in our recliners, and we share God, we share about the sermons we hear, we share about everything the Bible has to say. We try to learn together. And also, I just want to say that you might see a side in me you have never seen, because this is a side I didn't want to show. But when I get into the Word of God, I just feel the presence of God in my heart, in my life, what he's done for me. And yet, in my lifetime, I have turned my back on God. Even after serving him for a while, preaching in Virginia, preaching in Linden, Washington, in Marysville, Everett, I preached to Hispanics and English. But when circumstances got in my way, I felt so unworthy to serve God. I didn't feel any good. I'm not good at it, Lord. I don't want to do it. But I know I feel a tug in my heart. So what I would do is that I would just witness. There's a big platform out there. We've talked so much about salvation here. We talk about leading the lost to come to know Jesus Christ. Showing them the direction they ought to go. Just that we were in their road, but now we're in a different road. We're on a narrow road that leads to everlasting life. But when the pastor asked me if I wanted to preach, my head went like this. But I knew something was going. It was my body. But you know, I'm honored just to stand here and share with you the Bible. And if you got your chapter 12 of Isaiah, if you could stand just for a little while. There's not a lot of scriptures. In honor of the Lord as pastor and Brother James, I would say it's honor to the Lord. Not to the one speaking, but to Jesus Christ. It says, behold. Behold, that sounds powerful. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength, my song. He also is become my salvation. Verse 3, therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. In Isaiah 51, verse 6. I'll just grab a drink of water, please, because I am a little nervous. I'll get it together. Isaiah 51:6 says, lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell in it shall die in like manner. But I like this right here. But my salvation shall be forever. Father, I thank you and I praise you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity that I'm here, Lord. of all the times you've been with me, Lord, the good and the bad, the sad, the joys, I need you now, Lord. Help me, Lord, to be a servant to you, because you deserve all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Out of the 783,137 words that are in the King James Version, for me, salvation is everything. It is a very profound word. It is something that we don't realize we need it because of the way we lived our lives. But when you become a Christian, when you invite Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior, you recognize something's different inside. Yes. Yes. That's why we need to go and share the gospel. Everybody has their way. Some knock doors, some go to grocery store. You know, I do it at other places. I just talk to whoever I can. That's what I like doing. Especially with the opportunity to picking up pastries. I see a lot of people who are homeless. I like sharing the gospel with them. But you know what? I don't do it to get glory from nobody. I want Jesus Christ to get the glory. And then just share the change in my life that he's made. All because of a simple words that we could say, Jesus, forgive me. We needed to recognize of where we were at in our lives. Now, the meaning of the word salvation, in the Hebrew root word, I hope I said that word right, root word. The Hebrew root word is yesha. It signifies freedom from what binds or restricts and thus affects our deliverance. And the Greek word is soteria, meaning to cure, to provide recovery, to rescue, to affect one's affair. In Latin is salvo. In Espanol or in Spanish, is salvación. That's something that we all need to be sharing to those that are lost. Now, the mention of the word salvation, it's found 160 times in the Bible and is referred to in 32 books. The Old Testament includes 116 references as found in 16 books. The New Testament includes 44 references as found in 16 books also. And now the first mention of salvation comes from a father in Egypt. In Genesis 49 and verses 1 and verse 18. You guys can look it up. Give you guys a little homework. It don't hurt. It might encourage you to get more into the Word of God. Search the Lord. And see how important our salvation is. A lot of people, a lot of Christians just live nonchalant. I'm a Christian. Like that's it. There's more to salvation than just claim that we're Christians. Now, the final mention of salvation in the Bible comes from the faithful in heaven in Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. The magnificence of the word salvation is awesome. Note the way it is employed in the following verses. In Psalms 3, verse 8. The word of God is so wonderful, man. Let me tell you. Psalms 3, verse 8 says, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. Psalms 27, 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Once Jesus Christ is in your life and in your heart, who do we fear? What can somebody do to you and me if we just try to present with them a gospel of Jesus Christ? Oh, they can do it. I've had it done before. They take it and it's not a frisbee. But me, like a little puppy, I can't let that go to waste. I run and I pick it up. If he don't want it, somebody else might. In Psalms 51:12, it says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Psalm 62, 1 and 2 says, truly my soul waiteth upon God. For him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. Amen. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Jonah 2:9 says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. We got to give God thanks. Amen. Because salvation did not come easy. Came easy for you and for me, but it didn't come easy for him. He had to endure what we deserve to endure. But he endured for us. It says, I will pay that that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. There's no other way to obtain it. No other way to get salvation. In Romans 1:16 it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, to the Mexican, to the white man, to the black man, to the Indian, to every man that exists. Please forgive me. I tried to make a promise, but I'm always breaking my promises. Not only to my wife, but to myself. I said, don't be a baby, don't cry. But you know what? Sometimes I can't help it. I don't show my emotions too much to people, but one thing I do, I'm not ashamed to shed a tear for the Word of God, because it's dear to my heart. It's changed my life. I've seen the difference what it did for me. I never want to revert to who I was before. Never. I want to be who God wants me to be. I want to be Ricardo Montoya Martinez Salinas. That's who I want to be. I don't have to impress anybody. I'm so grateful for what Jesus Christ did for me. I don't deserve it. He, the God of the second chance. In Romans 10:10, it says, for with the heart, and boy did I give him my heart. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It takes the heart. It takes your full heart, your whole heart, every little bit of that heart that God gave us, it takes it all. Because Jesus gave his all. God gave up his only son. And I know we've been hearing about salvation over and over, because it is one of the most profound words that you could mention in the Bible. Salvation never came easy. For us, yes. But for our Lord and Savior, no. Now there's a twofold implication involved in the word salvation. That someone needs to be saved. And that someone is able and willing to save. We needed to be saved, and many more need to be saved. There are many who need to be saved. You see what's going on in our world, and sometimes I watch the news and I see what's going on, and I tell my wife, honey, it's sad. A lot of people are going to go to hell. But it shouldn't stop us from sharing the word of God. A little gospel, a little track ain't going to hurt. And I've had incidences where I never tell my wife, because I don't want her to worry about it. Where sometimes, it gets kind of scary when you're out there. Sometimes I love the homeless people. It hurts me the way some people talk about them, what they say about them. Because of what they are, the way they are, the way they look, the way they walk, what they do in the streets. I just listen. And I say, Lord, forgive. And you know what? Most of them are Christian people who talk about it. I'm sorry, but they do. But you know what? You don't know their circumstances. You don't know what brought them where they're at. They need Jesus. They need Jesus Christ. The fact that someone needs to be saved, people are lost. Only a sick person needs a doctor. And you know what? Man is desperately ill. We all got the same sickness. It's called sin. You can read about it in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 6, and Matthew 9, 1 and 2. The gospel accounts demonstrates time and again where Jesus healed the physical bodies of individuals so that he might call attention to their sad, sinful, spiritual condition. We were sick. We get sick physically. We go to a doctor. They give you some medicine. And it's just a Band-Aid. But Jesus Christ, don't mess with Band-Aids. He heals us spiritually, wholeheartedly. But it's up to us on what we do with what Christ gives us. Only an accused person that needs a lawyer. An accused person needs to have a lawyer. A man or a woman who's accused of a crime need a lawyer. And man stands condemned before God. Romans 3:19 says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." Man is in dire need of a competent defense attorney. For he has been charged and convicted for the most serious possible crime. High treason against our Creator. We have hurt God so much. Who is this God that you're talking about? Some people say out there. He's never done nothing for me. Well, have you been open to him? And he'll show you what he's able to do. Nobody said that God's life, living the Christian life, was going to be easy. But it sure is worth it. A little name calling don't hurt. They can call me all the names they can call me. But I don't have to revert and calling them names back. Only a person unable to find his way needs a guide. And we are hopelessly lost. We needed a guide back to where we should have been, to where God intended us for us to be. When you accepted Jesus Christ, you see life so much different than when you don't have Christ in your life, because he lightens up. He lightens our eyes. We see life as Christ sees life. And he becomes our guide, our God. Man is in dire need of a competent attorney, and Jesus is his greatest attorney. He is the mediator between man and God. As the accuser of the brethren is up there trying to make us look bad, Jesus Christ is there defending us. I sure hope it don't bother you if I drink water. I was walking in from home, and Elizabeth, little girl, says, "Are you scared?" I thought she might have heard my knees knocking when I got out of the car. I said, "Do I look scared?" She goes, "She must have heard my knees knocking." Kids can be so cute sometimes. I'm trying to catch my breath because I do get into this. When you study the Word of God and you get in deeper into the Word of God, it's just so awesome. What you don't know, he'll let you know. It says, see what I just said, only a person unable to find his way needs a guide, and man is hopelessly lost. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." We was lost. And like I said, many more are still lost. And even some who claim to be Christians are lost. They're lost because they're not living for Jesus Christ. They don't know where they're going. They haven't seen the light. Anybody can say that I'm a believer. But it doesn't mean you believe in the right one. Ephesians 2:12 says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. At that time, in verse 12, what we just read, at that time, that's talking about before your salvation experience, before you were without Christ, without a salvation experience. Paul speaks of the destitution and desolation of the unregenerate, lost, and undone. Being Christless, we were without rest, without life, without light, without salvation, and without peace. We were in darkness. But now, in Christ, in verse 13 of Ephesians, it says, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. It took blood. Like we say, la sangre de Dios, the blood of Christ. It took blood to cleanse us. To cleanse us, it took the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why he's worthy to be served, to worship, to praise, to live, and sing songs unto the Lord. We need the Lord. Because it took so much to show how much he loves you. That he was willing to die on the cross. But now, which I read in verse 13. But now, now that we're Christians, a strong, glorious contrast to at that time before we gave our lives to Christ. In Christ, our new position in union with him, in contrast to being without Christ in verse 12. The Bible says, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We have been brought close to Jesus Christ. This is what God has done. We are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Not by becoming a proselyte Judaism. Not by the sincerity of our repentance. Not by the strength of our faith. Not by the depth of our devotion. And not by the joy of our spiritual experience. A new relationship has been established in a new covenant sealed with the sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Who suffered the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He brought us to God. Who else could have brought us to Jesus Christ? But Jesus Christ. Now the second implication of this. In salvation of the word salvation. Such a savior must fulfill both requirements. He must be able to save. And he must be willing to save. It is possible for a person to have a desire, but not the ability to save another individual. Many physicians have stood in utter frustration beside the bed of a dying patient, wanting to so much to give aid, but totally helpless to do so. But he must be willing to save. It is possible for a person to have the ability, but not the desire to save another individual. An example is this. In 1978, a man in the United States in desperate need of a rare blood type transfusion died. The tragedy of the story was that he suffered and died needlessly. This is what got me. For one of his own relatives possessed that rare type of blood and could have easily donated some, but stubbornly refused. So that perhaps the greatest ability, after all, is availability. Availability. So with that, I would say, who or what is the source of salvation? Who or what is the source of salvation? Jesus, who meets both requirements. He is able to save. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He is willing to save. Matthew 8:2-3 says, and behold, there's that word again, behold, isn't that sound powerful? Behold. I remember the movie Moses, when he hit that big staff by the water. Behold, the power of the Lord. And then the sea opened. I don't think we can do that, but it says, and behold, there come a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. That's what I did. Out of all the wrongs I've done in my life, and many of them there were, that's what I did. I said, Jesus, cleanse me, Lord. Please wash me. I can't go on like this anymore. I want to have another way of life. And you want to know something? That was at the time I was going through some circumstances. And I want to tell you, God works in wonderful ways. Because I met my wife, and she started talking to me about Jesus Christ. She hammered me with it with love and kindness. And I didn't even know her that way. We just friends at that time. And you know what? It got to me. Because I knew Christ. I'm the one that walked away from Jesus. I did blame my circumstances. Poor me, poor me, poor me. I felt bad. I felt like a failure. But when she started talking about Jesus Christ, I start remember all the things I was doing. I served him. I preached. I shared the gospel. And look where I was. I was in a rut. Homeless. But she helped me. I believe in my heart that God used Manda. And when I told her that, I was so happy that she, I believe now that God brought her in my life at the right time. But the point is that when we were going to be together and wanted to be married, I said, I'm not going to disrespect you. I'm not going to be living with you. I don't want to just live with you. I don't want to live with you. I want to respect her. So we got married. That was the best thing that I could have done. I don't want to live out of God's will. Because if we're going to serve the Lord together, we're going to serve the Lord the right way. I love my wife. Although there may be a difference in age, but it's okay by me. I'm not going to go no further because I might lose myself. It says in Matthew 8:2-3, I know I read it, I'll read it again. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Leper is a symbol of sin. As he cleansed the sick in those days, he cleanses us sick in these days. We have sin that needs to be taken away. Although we're yet born into the nature of sin, but you cannot tell me that if you mess up, that you didn't have to do it, because God gives us a conscience. You know what's right, you know what's wrong. In verse 3 it says, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. He touched him. Just like he touched everyone who asked Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. We have to accept. We have to ask. We have to come to him. He touched them saying, I will. And that's what he says to us. I will. but you got to be wanting it. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Just as we accept Jesus Christ as person, the Lord and Savior, that moment on, we're cleansed from the leprosy. In 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, the Bible says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior." In verse 4 it says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." As has been previously stated, the Lord Jesus Christ is the source, the center, and the sum total of salvation. He's all we need. I'm sorry. Jesus is all we need because he's the sum total of our salvation. He's the only one that is able to cleanse us. I'll tell you the truth. When I was writing this and I was studying and I was just spending my time with God, I'll tell you, I'm a big baby. When I'm by myself with Jesus Christ, believe it or not, and a lot of you probably have sensed the presence of God when you're in your word. When you're in the word of God, you just sense his presence. It is a marvelous feeling. I'm not saying feeling saved or anything like that. That's not what it is. But God is personal. God is personal. And he wants to be personal. In Zechariah 9:9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. He came to Jerusalem knowing what was going to happen. He already knew exactly what he was going to go through. For you and for me. The God who walked in the streets of gold came to walk on streets of dirt for you and for me, for us. The God who had everything and still has everything, all he wanted was us. So he sacrificed. Father gave his son. Father God gave his son. And all I'm trying to say here is, as Christians, when you read the word of God, try to get with God in a very intensive, emotional, heartfelt relationship as you're in the word of God together. Love God. Because when you get so close to God, not only in prayer, but in reading and studying, spending time alone, all by yourself with God, sometimes I feel like he's actually just grabbing me and said, "Te amo, Ricardo." Oh, you speak Spanish too, by the way. "I love you." He says to me, "I love you." And the more I feel the presence of God in my life when I'm alone, just talking to him, the more bad I feel because I hurt him. But I sometimes feel like he's hugging me and telling me, "Don't worry. All's forgiven. All's forgiven. Not some, not a little bit. All's forgiven." And I know some of us have done a lot of things not right. And I'll be honest and I'll be open with you. I don't always open myself too much, but I want to share with you. I spent time in jail. Plenty of time in jail. And being in jail is nothing compared to being in prison separated from Jesus Christ. When I started going to Bible studies in jail, I felt free. Even though I might have been locked up in man's jail. But there's one prison I don't want to go. It's called hell. Different between jail and hell. I don't want to be in that jail or hell or whatever. I don't want to be there. I know in my heart, I'm going to heaven. I'm not perfect, but God is. Salvation is everything. And it is, and it should be the most important thing. We all have problems. We're all humans. We have the same problems. The problem is sin. But like I said, being in jail is, your freedom is taken away from you. But Satan took my freedom completely. He had me locked up. He had me bound up. He had me chained up. A couple of handcuffs are nothing because they're going to eventually release them. But when the devil has you handcuffed, no one can release them but Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can do it. The sentence for the sin of breaking God's law is eternal death in hell and then the lake of fire. When man sinned in the Garden of Eden, man died spiritually. Spiritually dead. Eventually, the physical was going to follow. Satan became master of our spiritual father. He became our spiritual father. When you don't know Jesus Christ, the Bible says that we are dead in trespasses and sins. We are alienated from God, by our sins. We are standing afar off because of our sin. We sin because we are sinners by nature. We cannot help it. We cannot but sin. Any and every person that is not saved has God's wrath abiding in him or her. Anyone who is not saved goes to hell when they die. All lost. Permanent reality. That's it. Bottom line. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's what the Bible says. If we don't know Jesus Christ, there's only one place where sin is paid for. The message is as simple and blunt as that. There is nothing we can do about our condition ourselves. We are guilty sinners, helpless to save ourselves, just as the heavy axe head laid lost at the bottom of the murky, muddy Jordan River in Elisha's day. Remember that story? But didn't the axe head float back up? We don't have to stay in the murky Jordan River. We can be raised back up. And only Jesus is able to do that. Jesus can do that. If he can do that with a piece of metal that just automatically sinks and don't come back up, and God can bring it up to float, he can do that for us. However, we have a Savior who can save us from the penalty, power, and presence of sin. He can give us life and give it more abundantly. God, through his great love and mercy, has provided a way out for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is our salvation. There's no other way. No one else to turn to. You can't go to books. You can't go to tapes. You can't go to priests. There's no man that can save us but the man, Christ Jesus. Anyone who believes in Christ Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior will be saved. He made it simple. He made it simple for us. He took the hard part. All we have to say, again, as I said, and I don't want to repeat myself one over, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to do it anyway. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's where I stop. I know the scripture goes on, but I'm talking about rest, peace, comfort, but the most important, assurance, because he promised. Jesus rose from the dead on the third day because it was not possible that death and hell could keep him. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. I'm glad he rose from the dead. He was seen, heard, physically touched after his resurrection. The Bible says that we have not followed cunningly devised fables. The Bible is our more sure word of prophecy. Don't trust people. Trust God. The Bible is a book that bears witness of Jesus Christ from start to finish. Try someday just to get intimate as you read the Bible. Amen. Get intimate with the Lord. I know people who just go and open their word and they just read it. I'm done for that. I did my devotion. But to have a personal relationship that's so intimate is a lot different than just reading the Word of God. Anybody can read, but he wants us to have a personal relationship. We will all ultimately stand before Christ. We can stand before him in very different settings, either saved or lost, cleared or guilty. The Bible says that Jesus separates. I was going to do something, but I decided not to. It's ridiculous. Actually, I was. I was going to go. The sheep, what do? Bah. And the goats go, nee. So he's going to take the bah and cast the nee. I'm a sheep. You're a sheep. Some are sheep. I'm talking about sheep. Only God can make you see the need to be saved. Job 35 says, what advantage will it be unto thee? And what will it profit if shall I have? What profit shall I have if I be cleansed from my sin? It is up to the Holy Spirit to work in each person's heart individually. I cannot be saved for you. All I can do is tell you what God says in his word. All it takes is repentance and faith towards God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, in closing, the Bible says, now is the accepted time. Today is a day of salvation. Jesus says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. That's all it takes. He's not asking for any more. He's not telling you to do anything extraordinary. He's not asking you to go and kill a sheep, a sacrifice. Those are all gone. Adios, amigo. We just come to him with an open heart by faith. So I ask you, if there's anyone here, even if you've never known Jesus Christ, there's no better time than come to the altars, as the pastor says, as Brother James says. The altar is always open. I was asked one time, how come you guys go to the altar just to ask Jesus into your heart? You can ask Jesus Christ into your heart wherever you at. But the point is, do you mean it? Don't do it just because you're in a little trouble. I remember when I was in jail, I was locked up and everybody found Jesus there. And I kept asking, where's Jesus? Everybody finds him here. Everybody finds him in jail. What did Jesus do? Why is he in jail? I don't understand. I'm not trying to make light of it. But it's true. I've met many people out here too. Yeah, I was locked up and I found Jesus. So is that why I can't find him right here? He's in jail. ¿Qué pasó? What happened? I didn't know he was in jail. I came to a conclusion that Jesus is everywhere. You can find Jesus anywhere. You can hide, but he'll always find you. So I ask you that if you don't know Jesus, please, you know. And if you've just accepted him because all everybody else says, it ain't going to work that way. You got to mean it in your heart. With your heads down, please. I want to pray. If there's anyone who needs Jesus Christ, there's no better time than you say, Lord, or maybe you failed him, even as a Christian. He is there listening. And like the father of the prodigal son, he will open his arms and he will accept you, no matter what. In Jesus' name.